Joining us now, Dan Riccio and Eric Thomas. It is Joshua Cloak of The Athletic. If you were up late last night, you were watching the Canadian men's national team clinch second spot in their group at the Gold Cup. And Josh, that is some kind of result, even though it might not sound like much, getting 0-0 against Honduras. For Canada, that's massive, and it really sets them up well going into the knockout round.
A win and two draws, in the group stages would have been unfathomable, you know, a year, 2 years ago. It's really incredible the kind of turnaround that this team has gone through. And to me, I think Zambrano deserves pretty much all of the credit. Anyone who's spoken to him, I have as well. He's spoken about the kind of the changes that he's had to, you know, help the team undergo mentally, because mentally this was a team that just was resigned to defeat quite often. So I think that's impressive, because, you know, if you watch the last 10 or 15 minutes of that Costa Rica match, that was a real, you know, that one was pretty exciting, and it looked like they might give it away late. And again, last night was a real grinding affair. And these are the games that in the past, you know, the Canadian men's team might have lost. So, yeah, pretty impressive, I got to say.
Yeah, and this ultimately the best result for Canada, even maybe better than winning the match last night, as winning Group A probably means a date with Panama in the quarterfinal. And, you know, instead you might get Jamaica or El Salvador. This really was a bonus of that. Now, going into the knockout round, Josh, there can be changes made to the squad. And that, of course, brings up the idea of possibly adding Kyle Larin to the team. As we know, he was left off because of that DUI he had down in Orlando. Do you think Zambrano makes that change for the knockout stage?
Yeah, I had a feeling we'd talk about this. Do I think he will? Probably not, if only because I think he likes the look of the squad so far. Do I think he should? Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about this before, and I was of the belief that Larin should be playing in the group stages games, you know, to offer a chance at kind of redemption. I'm a big believer that everybody deserves a second chance, within reason, of course. And I think this would be a perfect opportunity to really flex that attacking muscle. Because, again, if you talk to Zambrano, one thing that he stresses is how he knows he has an attack-minded squad. He wants to play to those strengths. And you know, who better to bring in right now than Kyle Larin? So I don't know if he does, if only because I think he likes the look of his group right now. Because, obviously the other side of the argument is you throw off that team chemistry that they might have built through these first three games. I obviously don't know a lot about, where he stands morally on this issue, Zambrano, but I don't know if he does, but I certainly think he should.
Yeah, I feel it, you know, you punished Kyle Larin. And
right.
If you do think that he would have been, I mean, he was a lock to be on the team had the incident not happened, right? So unless you think there's maybe a chemistry issue, you like what you got going on so far, I do think you bring him in, even though, you know, probably Lucas Cavallini would get the start no matter what in that knockout stage game. It's interesting times, and you know what? It's good to feel positivity around the Canadian men's national team right now. You know, the women have had it for quite some time, and they have their run of talent always going through, but the men obviously have not had that, and this has been good results for them all the way through, and now we'll see what they can do in the knockout stages. As for Toronto FC, Josh, you know, yesterday was a big day for the club, and Greg Vanney, Tim Bezbachenko, coach and GM of the team, getting contract extensions, something really unheard of in the history of TFC.
Right. Yeah, it's strange when you look through the kind of rotating door of coaches, you know, and management types that have been with TFC since their inception, you know, around 10 years ago. It's actually quite strange that this would be the first time, you know, that a coach and a GM would receive extensions. But, you know, they're very much in sync, these two. They're very much of the same mind. And I think when you look at what they've done with respect to the academy, you know, they've really built this thing from the ground up, and they've really laid the foundation for TFC to contend years from now. And they, you know, the inroads they've made with the community as well for young soccer players, you know, in and around the GTA to look at TFC as a viable option. I think that's something that really can't go understated, because we know, you and I both know, that, you know, there's a temptation for young soccer players to quickly, you know, seek fame and fortune elsewhere. So I like that, and that's something that I think is a big part of why they really deserved this extension. I mean, you are looking at two men, Bill Manning, of course, included, who have really brought TFC to the forefront of MLS. And they are, you know, to me, they are the team that over the next few years will really establish themselves as the preeminent team in MLS. And they're the kind of team that I think MLS needs to really be selling abroad and say, look at our league. You know, when you want to tune into a big match, Toronto FC has to be part of it if they're going to start showing, you know, games abroad more and more. So I think it's incredibly well deserved, and that kind of stability also trickles down into the team. You know, and when players know who is going to be in charge and what the vision is, and they know that the vision of the club, and we can talk about culture, and that's kind of an onerous term, but when they know what the culture of the club is going to be for the next few years, that makes more players want to come, you know, because there's not a lot of stability in pro sports. We're talking about 2-3 year contracts, which is kind of the norm, and when you know that you know, Greg and Bez are going to be at the helm until 2020, or I think as this goes to 2021, players like that. You know, players want to be a part of a real stable franchise, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It, you know, I think back to what Tim Leiwicki did as president of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And, I mean, just look at all three states of the franchise. They're all in better places from where they were when Tim Leiwicki first took over that job. But none more than TFC, who, you know, as you mentioned, Josh, they didn't have any structure in the past. And there was too many people trying to do too many things, too many cooks in the kitchen, you could say, to use that cliche. But now it's pretty clear. Greg Vanney's the coach. Tim Bezbachenko is the general manager. He's going to figure out who he wants to get on this team and all that kind of stuff. And he's going to work with the academy. And Bill Manning's going to oversee the business side of it and the overall vision of the club. And to have that and have everybody have clearly defined roles, I think has really helped TFC as far as the last couple of years.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, they were lost out at sea for those first few years, and kudos to the fans, you know, that have stuck by for all these years. I think the thing that always sticks out to me is there's this level of calm in and around TFC. There's an incredible amount of focus as to, you know, the task at hand, and they're not, you know, when Leiwicki comes in, and he was brash in a lot of ways. You know, we look at what he did when he talked about planning the parade route for the Leafs, and he put all this money into TFC, and, you know, we don't have to talk about the faux signing. There was a lot of brash moves, but now in and around the club, there's just this sense of calm and purpose. And part of that is just the personalities of the two men. I mean, anybody who's dealt with Greg knows that, you know, he's an incredibly thoughtful man, and he's a real tactician, and he can talk tactics with you on end. But their purpose is so clear. And to me, it's a matter of, you know, if they talk enough about winning championships, and if they talk enough about, look, we want to be CONCACAF champions, you again, we're talking about the men's team. You never would have thought that 2-3 years ago. You would have thought that was foolish, but they're so focused on this task at hand, and again, players start to just eventually buy in. If you repeat this message enough, and you have kind of the skills and the tools to back it up, it really makes a big difference. And they have that now, and it's really actually, I got to say, it's exciting to kind of be around, because you can really see players buying in, and you know, with the addition of Hassler this week, you know, you can see that players, international players, now want to come here. This isn't thought of as kind of a, you know, an afterthought, a place to finish out your career. You know, TFC is the kind of place where players want to be to play at, you know, maybe the height of their career, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I want to touch on that a little bit more. We are with Joshua Cloak of The Athletic here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It is Dan Riccio and Eric Thomas live from the Honda Indy Toronto. An update on practice.
Yeah, just a little less than 20 minutes left, Dan, in the practice session. It's still Penske 1-2-3, Castroneves, Pagenaud, Newgarden. But the big mover so far in the session, Oakville's own James Hinchcliffe, who's gone from the teens up to fourth quickest. His time is a 1 minute with a 2.39. Castroneves sub 1 minute with a 59 with an 8.28. So the Hinchcliffe Schmidt-Peterson boys have found something in practice, and that'll lend itself well to qualifying this afternoon at 2.15.
Exactly, and Hinch was on the podium last year trying to do himself a little bit better and maybe win the race this time around. So, yeah, Josh, your latest on The Athletic was quite interesting about TFC and the signing of Nicholas Hassler, and not so much the signing in specific, but kind of what it means and just having TFC have this global reach where they're picking guys out of Europe. You know, earlier in the week they had a Brazilian who was playing with the under 20 Brazilian side on, and he's up here on trial with TFC. TFC is starting to grow their global brand, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I think they have designs on doing that, and I think they want to, and I think, you know, the opportunity to play and hopefully if they have the lineup that they do now, you know, go deep into the Champions League next year, the CONCACAF Champions League, is really important. Players want, you know, that kind of global attention. Players don't want to play for regional clubs, you know. And sure, Nicholas Hassler had left his club Vaduz, you know, in Switzerland, or he'd left it, I think, in June. But he could have gone elsewhere. He could have stayed in Europe. You know, there's enough quality with the player that he could have stayed in Europe. But again, players want that kind of global attention. They want their own brands to get bigger. And I think TFC, you know, have designs on that. And how could they not? You know, if you ask me, I think they have three of the best five players in MLS right now. They have, you know, bona fide international stars on the team. And I really think it's time that they start looking bigger. I mean, sure, you're up against massive competition when you look at the Barcelonas and, you know, the Man Uniteds and the Bayern Munichs of the world. It's very tough to compete with these brands, but you have to start making inroads somewhere. And we talk a lot about parity in MLS and how it seems like every single year there's a different champion. But to me, I haven't seen a team in MLS, and yes, they haven't won their first MLS Cup yet. Like, let's be clear about that. But I haven't seen a team put together a lineup, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years in MLS where you look at it and say, if this team stayed together, they could repeat and repeat and repeat. There's enough depth. There's enough, you know, quality in that lineup. So I really think they should be thinking bigger, because that's the way that you ensure this success continues. You know, signing Sebastian Giovinco was obviously a smart move because he's talented, but it was an even smarter move because he wasn't an over-the-hill star. And we still see that again. We've talked a lot on the show about, you know, Schweinsteiger, and I would never say a bad word about him, but it's still right. The kind of move that MLS is known for. And TFC is really trying to buck that trend, you know, mining these leagues that often go overlooked and finding players that often go overlooked. And that's the kind of thing that I think they have to keep doing. And I think they have to increase their global reach to keep doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the one bad thing about Canada lasting long in the Gold Cup, it would seem, Josh, is what it might do for TFC if the U.S. Right. and Canada end up on lengthy runs through the Gold Cup. TFC is going to have quite a depleted squad for the next month or so.
Yeah, and they're going to have to lean even more on the man who's been on the hot seat for a while, Giovinco. I mean, you're going to lose Bradley and Altidore were out of training, so they're gone. You know, Edwards and to St. Ricketts and Jonathan Osorio, they're going to be out. So you're looking at least three, you know, starters, and Justin Morrow as well. Yeah. Three or four starters out of the lineup for the next few weeks. And wouldn't you know it, they've got a conference rival in New York City FC. Away to FC, it's a very tough place to play, you know, on Wednesday. So good chance for a guy like Hassler to really step up. You know, I imagine we're going to see a little more Benoit Cherou. Mm-hmm. And again, let's hope that Vasquez, you know, and Giovinco can continue to work that creative magic that they have. But yeah, you're definitely going to see them leaning on players that perhaps they might not have in the past. And who knows? Maybe we see him. Maybe we see Vanny go back to a 4-4-2, and he, you know, might play a little more conservatively because he won't have those attacking weapons in, you know, Altidore and Ricketts that he's had in the past, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Josh, really appreciate this, and keep up the good work, man.
Yeah, anytime. Enjoy the Indy.